morning, everyone, and welcome to ECL's third quarter 2012 results conference call. If you need a copy of the press release issued last week, it is available on the company's website at www.e-cl.cl. Before we begin, I would like to remind everyone that this call is being recorded, and the information discussed today may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's financial and operating performance. All projections are subject to risk and uncertainty, and actual results may differ materially. Please refer to the details note in the company's press release regarding forward-looking statements. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Lodi Sardinian. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lodi Sardinian. I'm the CEO of ECL. And with me are Bernardita Infante, Deputy CFO, and Marcela Munoz, our Investor Relations Officer. We shall now begin our quarterly investor conference call to discuss ECL's results for the third quarter and the first 9 months of 2012. We'll first briefly comment on the electrical system and its impact on marginal energy costs or spot prices. Even though ECL's exposure to spot prices is limited, given its highly contracted position, it helps in understanding the trends behind generation costs and average real electricity tariffs. Throughout 2012, average monthly marginal costs in the SYNC system have shown a declining trend due to the entry into commercial operation of approximately 850 megawatts of efficient coal projects together with variant dispatch of LNG plants. During the first and third quarters of 2012, coal generation accounted for over 80% of total generation in the SYNC, and this displaced generation based on diesel. As a result, marginal energy costs averaged between $70 and $76 per megawatt hour in those quarters. However, in the second quarter, marginal costs rose to an average of $120 per megawatt hour due to outages of certain coal-fired plants in the system. The missing coal generation was covered with gas and diesel generation. While electricity generation with LNG fell 42% in the first quarter due to the overhaul of our combined cycle unit 16 and the end of the Escondida LNG arrangement with Gas Atacama in January, in the second quarter, LNG-based generation recovered to represent about 15% of total generation, allowing the system to cover shortfalls in coal generation. AES Gener's natural gas plant in Salta, Argentina, has no longer been delivering electricity to the SYNC. According to CEDEC statistics, in the first 9 months of 2012, ECL and its subsidiaries accounted for 68% of total generation, followed by AES Gener's subsidiaries, which accounted for 31%. Endesa Salta and Gas Atacama, together, were reported to present a 10% share, a reduction compared to last year due to maintenance works at Celta in the second quarter and the early termination of the LNG supply arrangement with Escondida in January. ECL's electricity generation in the first 9 months of this year increased 27% to 6,817 kWh due to the start of CPN-CPH and the generally good performance of our generation assets. We reported a 60-day outage for the overhaul of our Unit 16 combined cycle unit in the first quarter and planned outages of some of our coal-fired plants in the second and third quarters. This was due to annual maintenance and the installation of fabric filters to reduce particulate matter emissions to meet new environmental regulations. On December 20, our 60% owned coal-fired plant CPH was shut down because of a breakdown in the turbine. The damaged equipment is currently being repaired at the manufacturer's workshop in Europe, and the plant is expected to resume operations in mid-December. We do not expect a material impact on our fourth quarter results, as the scheduled annual maintenance has been carried out during this outage, and the loss will be partly mitigated by insurance coverage. I would now like to go over relevant events occurred in the third quarter of 2012. First, the tax reform. A tax reform was enacted in Chile in September, which, among other changes, caused the corporate income tax rate to increase from 17 to 20%. As a result, ECL reported a $22 million impact on net results, primarily related to a one-time effect on deferred taxes. Secondly, on July 31st, ECL acquired a $76 million loan that CTH had with its 40% owner, Inversiones Punta de Rieles. In such way, ECL became CTH's sole lender with a loan amounting to $190 million, priced and structured at market conditions. Third, on October the 30th, CTA made the last disbursement under its project finance facility with IFC and KfW for an amount of $93.7 million. Since the project has already been fully funded and the plant has been in commercial operations for over a year, the proceeds were used to repay shareholder loans provided by ECL. We will now compare the third quarter results the same quarter of the year before. So, about net income, in the third quarter, ECL reported a $3 million net loss, representing a $23 million drop compared to the same quarter of the year before. The most significant factor was the $22 million one-time loss explained by the impact of the recently approved tax reform on deferred taxes. Actually, income before taxes reached $23 million, a slight decrease from the third quarter of last year. Other relevant variations when comparing with the third quarter of last year were a $60 million decrease in EBITDA, a $7 million increase in depreciation resulting from the startup of CTA and CTH, as well as from CapEx related to emissions reduction and plant overhaul. This was in part offset by a $20 million positive variation in foreign exchange results, largely because in the third quarter of last year, we had reported foreign exchange losses after sharp depreciation of the Chilean peso. In relation with operating results, sales of energy and capacity dropped 11%, reaching $243 million in the third quarter. This was the result of an increase in physical sales combined with reduction in tariffs. Physical sales rose 22% due to the new ML contract, which offset a slight drop in physical sales to unregulated clients. This was explained by the end of the Minera Sense contract in July 2011, while a new contract with Minera El Tesoro became effective in March 2012. Average monomic tariffs fell 26% to $106 per megawatt hour for the following reasons. First, PPAs with tariffs linked to coal generation became effective as CTA and CTH became commercially operational. Secondly, we reported some contractual tariff provisions associated with the lower cost generation mix available in the system. And third, the ML PPA presented lower tariffs given its indexation to Henry Hub and US CPI. Since over 10% variations in the Henry Hub index occurred twice this year, a downward tariff adjustment became effective in May and another one in August. Then about operating costs, tariff costs also decreased, but not as much as the decline in revenue. Our gross electricity generation increased by 17% due to the more stable performance of our new units, CTA and CTH, and increased LNG generation. Despite this increased electricity generation and slight increases in fuel prices, our fuel costs fell 19% due to the greater proportion of coal in use, which was used in our fuel mix, and lower average price paid for LNG supply. The drop in fuel costs was partially offset by an increase in the cost of spot energy purchases needed to meet our increased demand from EMEL, as well as by higher depreciation and maintenance costs. About electricity margin and EBITDA, our gross electricity margin, calculated as revenues from electricity sales minus fuel costs and spot energy purchases, decreased by 14% to $112 million. As explained earlier, this was due to new tariffs reflecting lower average variable costs from the company's new fuel mix and the lower average tariff for the EML contract, which has been affected by the low Henry Hub prices. The company has subscribed a long-term LNG supply contract at Henry Hub prices to supply the ML contract, but however, this contract did not become effective until the last quarter of 2012. Consequently, the electricity margin has decreased largely because of the need to supply the ML contract with spot electricity purchases or generation based on LNG at all index prices. The third quarter EBITDA reached $65 million, a 19% drop compared to the third quarter of 2011. We will now compare the first 9 months' results of 2012 to the same period of 2011. Net income after taxes reached $43.6 million or 41 cents per share, less than half of last year's result. The $60 million drop was mainly explained by the following factors. First, a $42 million drop in EBITDA. Second, a US $18 million increase in depreciation from the new unit, CTA and CTH, and from Unit 16 overhaul. Third, a $15 million US dollar increase in interest expense, since the interest expense on our CTA project financing ceased to be capitalized in July 2011. An almost $6 million increase in income taxes despite our lower taxable income. As explained earlier, this was the result of an increase in the tax rate following the tax reform enacted in September. And finally, a $20 million turnaround in foreign exchange results, which mitigated the above negative impact. About operating results, lower average realized tariff change to charge to unregulated clients and low Henry Hub levels affecting the tariff charge to regulated clients explains the 11% decrease in electricity revenues, despite increased physical sales. Since costs did not fall as much as prices, EBITDA decreased 17% and reached $200 million in 9 months. Unregulated tariffs fell 24% to an average of $118 per megawatt hour. As mentioned earlier, this is explained by new PPAs with prices tied to coal generation, the end of the SENS contract, and the implementation of contractual tariff adjustments. We must bear in mind that since the restrictions in Argentine gas supply became critical in 2007, until new coal capacity became available in the sink in 2011, we had some bridge PPAs with higher tariffs due for review once the new capacity would come online. The Imel contract, which accounted for 16% of total electricity sales, represented the lowest average monomic tariff of $101 per megawatt hour. Physical energy sales increased 21% due to the new Imel contract that largely offset the slight drop in volumes sold to mining and industrial clients. About the operating costs, our gross electricity generation increased by 27% due to the start of CTA and CTH, and the good performance of our coal plants, with the exception of plant outages of some of our coal units for annual maintenance and installation of fabric filters under our emissions reduction program. CTH was out of service the last 10 days of September. And another factor explaining the increases in our generation levels, especially during the second quarter, is that coal-fired units belonging to our competitors, such as Engamos and Celta, were out of service at that time. As a result, coal generation increased to represent 78% of ECL's total generation, displacing generation based on diesel. Nevertheless, our LNG generation decreased in the first quarter due to the overhaul of our Unit 16 combined cycle and sales of gas to generators in the state. However, in the second quarter, LNG generation increased and contributed to compensate for the reduction in coal generation in the state. Despite increase in our gross generation and relatively stable fuel prices, our fuel costs dropped 13%, mainly due to a lower cost fuel mix and lower average LNG prices. The cost of spot energy and capacity purchases fell 15% due to lower average marginal costs, particularly in the first and third quarters. Other direct operating costs increased, mainly due to sub-transmission tolls associated to the ML contract, and the cost of spare parts and services associated to the annual maintenance of our coal-fired plants, GTM2 and Unit 13, 14, and 15. In relation with the balance sheet, the consolidated cash balance reached $200 million at the end of September. In the first 9 months, cash from operations reached $210 million. These resources were used to finance capital expenditure of $135 million, mainly for the overhaul of our Unit 16 combined cycle gas plant, investments related to our emissions reductions program, and the last payment to the CTA and TTH EPC contractor. We also paid $64 million in dividends and used $76 million to acquire the loan that our partner Inversiones Puntarrieles had with CTH. We partially financed it with a 90-day bank loan for $50 million, which we fully repaid on October the 29th. Intangible assets amounted to $304 million and correspond to the valuation of the CTA and CTH PPAs, which are being amortized over a 30-year period. The only change in our financial debt in the last quarter has been the $50 million short-term bank loan. And at the end of October, we signed an agreement with the CTA project finance lenders, which, among other things, allowed us to make the final drawing of the loan for an amount of $93.7 million. CTA used these proceeds to repay intercompany loans provided by ECL. Therefore, our financial debt as of today is composed of the $400 million 144A bond with maturity in 2021, and the CTA project finance, which has an outstanding balance of $375 million and has final maturity in 2025. Equity decreased by $6 million to $1.67 billion due to an increase in the negative mark-to-market of the interest rate swaps associated to the CTA project finance, minus a $13 million provision corresponding to the 30% regulatory dividend payment. This account was deducted from net worth and added to the accounts payable item under short-term liabilities. The last 12-month EBITDA was approximately $327 million. Considering gross financial debt of $707 million, we have a gross debt-to-EBITDA ratio of 2.1 times. However, excluding non-recurrent items reported in the last quarter of 2011, the last 12-month EBITDA would have been $268 million, resulting in gross debt to EBITDA of 2.8 times. If we add the last disbursement of the CTA project finance, this would lead us to gross debt to EBITDA of 3.2 times. And the outlook. Finally, we would like to give you some update on our perception of our business outlook. We continue to foresee an encouraging future for our business given the number of mining projects in the pipeline, which should ensure strong demand for electricity in the coming years. However, the uncertainty as to the timing of these projects continues. We continue to work in our infrastructure as Energetica Misiones project, consisting of up to two coal-fired power plants, each with gross capacity of 375 megawatts, including a new port facility. We are currently participating in conversations and bidding processes with potential off-takers. In addition to the mining projects under study in our existing markets, there is a significant mining development in the Norte Chico industry, with mining companies increasingly concerned about securing their coal supply at reasonable prices. Indeed, adverse legal rulings have hindered the development of power generation projects such as Central Castilla, a large coal-based generation project in the northern area of the Sting, known as Norte Chico. By building a transmission line connecting our power plants in Mejillones to the northern segment of the Sting, we could be in a position to supply mining projects in the Sting region, thus expanding our universe of potential power off-takers. Execution of PPAs is the key item that will trigger the decision to build one or two of these units. We continue to work on the capital structure of the project and the selection of the key parties, such as the EPC contractor and potential financing provider. We expect an improvement in the return of our EMEL contract, which has been affected by a temporary mismatch between its tariff and the fuel supply cost. The PPA tariff is readjusted semi-annually according to the Henry Hub Index and US CPI, and more frequently in case of Henry Hub variations of over 10%. This caused downward tariff adjustments twice this year. We expect that the Henry Hub index will increase from such low levels. The long-term LNG purchase contract at Henry Hub prices to supply the EMEL PPA came into effect in the fourth quarter. Our PPAs included the tariff adjustment capturing the new fuel mix used in generation with a greater weight on coal. Therefore, the decline in average realized monomic tariff observed in the first quarter is expected to continue through the remainder of 2012. As long as conditions in the thing and the sick power grid so permit, we have been selling LNG to Endesa for electricity production out of the central South Pole. In this way, we are contributing to alleviate the tight power supply conditions currently existing in the northern part of the city. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of our presentation. We thank you very much for your attention, and we are open to any questions you may have.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this time or any time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you poll your question that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. Again, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. There are no questions at this time.
Okay, then, thank you very much, everybody, for your attention, and we'll speak to you in after we have the full year results of 2012. Bye-bye.
This concludes the call. Today's presentation, you may disconnect your line at this time, and have a nice day.